in this young man's outlook as he wanted his father's inheritance early, and in spite of his going away into a far country and engaging in bad behavior, he must have thought life would turn out better than it really did. And whenever we start to get discouraged, thinking that our community isn't interested in the gospel, or that our little church can't grow, or people in this community have gone into that far country wasting themselves, what we are really saying is that we don't believe that the Word of God is powerful enough to save people who are lost. And the result of such negative thinking is retreat. And the church will shrink, and Satan gets the upper hand. So we withdraw to the living room and sit in front of the television to develop an even more pessimistic attitude. We all know there are times when Christians fail. That's a given. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I have been the victim of brethren who have let me down. I know that you have had similar experiences. We probably have let brethren down ourselves from time to time. But we could be tempted to think that we're just beating our heads against the wall, so we might as well just quit. That's the result of pessimistic thinking. And I propose that it is sometimes good to be pessimistic, but pessimistic about the right things. Take a look in Luke chapter 15, verses 13 through 16. Not many days after the young man received his father's inheritance and went away to a far country, he gathered it all together, journeyed to that far country, there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Sure enough, he acted irresponsibly and wasted all his inheritance. And I'm sure it broke his father's heart when his son went away, but his father still had a hopeful heart. His father loved him enough to let him go, to leave him there in the pew of that pigsty. Did you ever think that maybe our father will do the same? If we don't get moving for the Lord, he's going to leave us sitting right there in the very pew that we sit in now. Here is what it took to make that wasteful son realize that life at home with his father wasn't nearly as bad as the condition that he was in now. He became quite pessimistic about his circumstances. And when a person is engaged in sin, he should become as pessimistic as he needs to be able to turn life around and go to God where he may receive mercy and forgiveness. The wayward son took on a pessimistic view about his future living in sin. And when a person starts seeing the reality of how bad sin is, he becomes very pessimistic about his future, both the near-term future as well as the long-term. And maybe then, every sinner starts to realize just how good God is and how much better it is to dwell in the Father's house. The prodigal son remembered what he had when he dwelled with his father. And verse 15, chapter 15, verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, how fortunate it is for the sinner to come to himself, to realize the condition that he's in. This young man said to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. The sinner is perishing. Perishing with hunger, the spiritual food that could nourish that soul to eternity. The prodigal son had previously considered his being a son as a worthless thing until he recognized the benefits that he had given up. Can you understand that? Can you see the importance of being thankful in God's house? I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about being in the Father's house spiritually back home. The wasteful son had friends who loved him. And where he was at the time, his friends only wanted him around so that they could use him. That prodigal son had given up a lot. At home, he had plenty of food. Now he was hungry. At home, he had clean clothes. Now he was covered with the stuff in the hog sty. At home, he had a future. And in that far country, he was just wasting away. But the father saw the best to come, and he saw God's hand on his son, touching his heart, leading his sinful child to repentance that would bring him back. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. The young man arose. He came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father, who never gave up because of his hopefulness, was always there looking out on the horizon, waiting for his son to return. He never gave up. He looked for the best to happen, and his optimism was rewarded, for one day his son did come home. But not everyone was happy when the reprobate returned. Now let's cast an eye on the darker side, where there is barely enough light to even see the elder son's grimness. There in Luke chapter 15, in verses 25 through 28, his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. The elder brother that was angry, why would he be angry? The family has been restored. But he could only see the negative outcome of receiving a treacherous family member. Why, whatever he received, he'd probably just go back to that far country and waste it with riotous living again. He couldn't see the good in his brother's return. All he could see is that his brother had gone off and spent his inheritance on worldly living, made a fool of himself, and shamed the family name. The older brother would have liked to have given a penalty for the bad behavior, but instead the father has rewarded that no good, whoremongering drunkard. Can you hear the older brother shouting at the prodigal? "How dare you come back, thinking that everything would just be like it was before? What makes you think you deserve a party?" The older brother could only see the worst about the return of his brother. And why might he have been that way? There may have been a clue given in Jesus' story in verses 29 and 30. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends." He lived there with all of the wealth of his father and all of the wonderful things that they enjoyed together, but he didn't enjoy it. "But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." Well, what was the primary cause of this terrible disposition? If the older brother never enjoyed all of the good things that were available to him while being in his father's house, he wouldn't ever enjoy them He could have had a fatted calf anytime he wanted. He did all the right things, but instead of being motivated by love and by the unity with his father, he did what he did out of duty, and it was drudgery to him, it seems. And now, even if you can't see how we might resemble the older brother, look at all we have. As Christians in our Father's house, we have everything we need, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And here in our church family, we have the sweetest fellowship this side of heaven. We have a congregation that cares for one another. We have a church family that works together on Sunday and on Wednesday to strengthen each other's faith and to build each other up in love. The elder brother never took advantage of any of the blessings that were available to him, and he was miserable. He was miserable even while being surrounded by plenty. And this is why I say that the older brother must have been one of the worst pessimists ever. We are also surrounded by plenty and blessed by God in so many wonderful ways. If we're miserable, we might need to reflect more on God's love and mercy, and let his word change our disposition inside. Meanwhile, back at the prodigal's house, the younger brother had finally realized the wonderful joy as he appreciated all that was in his father's house. He also realized what he had been missing out on when he was away in that far country, wasting away. Previously, when he was gone, he realized what he had lost, but when he came back, he understood it perfectly as he experienced firsthand what he had been missing. But not everyone was happy when the lost was saved, and that older brother resented his younger brother's return. You know, upscale churches, meaning those congregations that have above average earnings, they're not always appreciative of how much earthly blessings God has given them. And they might not appreciate the benefit of salvation as they are less appreciative of those who might be less fortunate that may attend church with them. If there may be a homeless person or a drug addict or someone who's poor that drives a car that might leak in the parking lot, people who might sometimes ask for benevolence, well, those religious folks who have more might even resent those who have made poorer choices in life. Which brother do you suppose we might be more like? In the story, there was the wasteful young man who came back and there was a party and he was glad for what he received. But there was also an older brother that resented everything that was being done for that younger brother. Do any of us identify with that elder brother? I suspect that most of us would probably identify with a wayward son who just wanted to enjoy life without the hard work and responsibility until we realized the error of our ways and turned back to God. But some years after having been saved, it might be that some have become more like the older son. Like the older son who never took advantage of the wealth of his father's house and accidentally hoarded the blessings of God. And instead of sharing them with others, as God has called us to do, we just keep it to ourselves. Now, before you say there is no way that I would ever be like the elder son, ask yourself how you would feel if some smelly, down-in-the-gutter alcoholic stumbled into the worship assembly today and sat down beside you. What's your first thought? Well, it might be He's probably here to ask for a handout. And if that's what you might think, then you're probably more like the older brother. If there is some foul odor that comes from that less fortunate soul and you wish he would just leave or at least go sit somewhere else, you might be more like the older son than you think. But someone in Jesus' story had a far more optimistic attitude than either of the brothers. The father's sweet, positive disposition in the parable outshined both of his sons. For Luke chapter 15 and verses 31 and 32 says, "He said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost, and he's found.'" And those words express a type of resurrection from death to life. When the son who was lost in that far country returned home to his family and he was safe, there would have been no returning. There would have been no resurrection. There would have been no salvation without the prodigal son repenting because he had faith that his father would take him back again. What kind of faith do you have? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The person who only has faith in themselves may attend church and be fine. They may look like everyone else, may do the same things that everyone else does, but there really has been no change inside that brings them to God, pouring out their hearts because of their sins and their knowing that they need salvation. But if we have heard about the Father's love and we understand what Jesus did for us, then we can trust God. We can trust him because we know that he'll take us back again and we'll be safe. Our Father in heaven accepts us on the basis of our trusting his word. That's the idea of having faith. And when we are sorry enough, because we've reached that point that we know that we have sinned and we need our Father's salvation, all we can do is trust him to take us back. The prodigal son was sorry that he had left home and wasted his life and was in the terrible situation that he was in. And that sorrow caused him to change his mind. That is exactly what repentance is. The prodigal son changed his mind and left his sinful, selfish, sorry ways behind and headed back home. He changed his mind, and the result was the change in his ways, and that is what every sinner needs to do, whether the sinner is a no-good, rotten scoundrel or just the average, everyday kind of sinner who just is guilty of sin, even if it's just avoiding obedience to God. But even people who attend church regularly can be guilty of sin, whether wasting their master's inheritance or being smug and resentful towards some other sinner who needs salvation. Faith and repentance is what causes us to act. And one action that happens when a sinner realizes the error of his way is a confession. The prodigal son confessed that he had sinned against heaven and before his father, and he was no more worthy to be called the father's son, but he just wanted to be one of the hired servants. But the confession that makes a sinner into a child of God is, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," and then that believing sinner may be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. It is at that point that that sinner becomes a child of God, a part of the family of God, has a new hope, and has become a new spiritual being. And after a person becomes part of God's family, then a person can keep growing in faith so that they won't be like that elder brother who resented the other sinners who want to come back home. A positive attitude will certainly enhance our well-being in this life, but it is of the essence for the child of God. It gives us a greater usefulness for our Father in heaven. It presses us forward and onward toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if you are within the sound of my voice and you need salvation, then get in touch with me while we stand and while we sing the song of encouragement.